Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
Every month I meet with the elders and ask the question from time to time, are there subjects or their topics upon which you would like for me to preach? And almost every year the elders will ask me to preach on two or three different subjects, and I am glad to do so. And in fact, this morning's lesson is one of those topics that the elders have asked me to preach on, and it is a time for us to discuss it. And this morning, I'd like to talk with you about dancing with the devil. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm going to talk about in a spiritual sense. Let me talk to you about the topic of dancing and why many of our young people are confused. The truth is that our young people many times are confused on a number of different subjects. They receive conflicting information from their family, from their friends, from the entertainment media, from those who are supposed to be religious and some who act religious. For instance, some religious groups condemn dancing, and you will hear a lesson on that this morning. Other religious groups even sponsor dancing among their young people. And why would these children not be confused in a society trying to give them mixed messages? Dancing is a common activity in today's society. It doesn't take you long to flip through the television channels to realize that this is very popular. It's been popular through the 20th century and even into the 21st century. The prom is coming up, and many feel that the prom is a rite of passage. That is, the young people feel that if they miss this, that somehow they are going to miss something that will affect them and negatively impact them for the rest of their lives. And young people are feeling like, well, I'm hearing this and I'm seeing this. Which am I going to do? What is going to be right? So there are questions that must be asked and must be answered. And here are some that we're going to talk about. What is dancing? I think everybody says, well, I think I know what it is. What is it? Number two, is all dancing wrong? What does the Bible say about it? Could it be that this kind might be right and this kind might be wrong? Is modern dancing from God or from the devil? Now, that third question is the one that I started pondering upon. As you start trying to think about this, where does this fit? Is it from God or is it from the devil? What should young people and their parents do? So this morning, I would like to look at dancing defined. Let's look and see what it really is. Number two, let's look at dancing discussed in the Word of God. Because after all, what I think or what I might believe is not really important at all. What is important is what God has said. Number three, we want to look at dancing that is demonic, that is from the devil. And then finally, dancing disdained. Let's begin, first of all, with what the dictionary says. The New Oxford American Dictionary, second edition, says that dancing is a series of movements that matches the speed and the rhythm of a piece of music. That's a pretty good definition. As you go through the Bible, you will see the word dance, danced, or dancing in several passages of Scripture. Some of these words are obvious, but there are some other words that are not as obvious. For instance, if you're reading the King James or the American Standard, you will notice the word lasciviousness occurs in several passages. In the New King James, sometimes it is translated licentiousness, or more often it is translated lewdness. Joseph Henry Thayer is a lexicographer. And that is, he's a man who defines words in another language. And in the Greek language, he is the preeminent, the one that everybody refers to, just like they used to refer to Webster's dictionary. His is the dictionary that everybody refers to because it is so accurate. And here's what he says about this word. It means wanton acts or manners, as filthy words, indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males or females. Now, I want you to notice this is a broad word that includes a number of things. For instance, when he says wanton manners as filthy words, if a person were to tell a story that were dirty, as we would say, then that would come under this purview here. If you're talking about young people who are involved in heavy petting, maybe in the back seat of a car, that would come under this word here. But I underline that part of indecent bodily movements. You see, dancing is not something new. It's something that's been around a long time. And Thayer includes that under this word lascivious. Now, it's important that we discuss this from the Bible. And some people say, and particularly young people, when they ask for it to be discussed, well, I read about dancing in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, does that not make it okay? Well, let's look at it. The word dancing is found 21 times in the Old Testament. You can flip through it and you can read it on several occasions. It's found recorded 5 times in the New Testament. And the best way for us to discuss it is to simply go to the Bible and look at some of these passages. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, first of all, to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And I want to begin with verse 13. And while you're turning there, let me explain to you the events that have led up to this passage. David has taken the city of Jerusalem. This is the city where God says, I want my name to be called. This is the city that is so important. And David is making all the preparations for this great city to be the city of God as God wants. One of the things that is going to be necessary is for the Ark of the Covenant to be brought to Jerusalem. So let's begin reading now in verse 13. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw the king, David, leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Now, I want you to notice the events. David is thrilled. Because now the Ark of the Covenant is coming. And the way the book of 2 Samuel records it is these animals just go 6 paces. And just as soon as they go 6 paces, he starts offering sacrifices. This is such a momentous event that David said, you've got to mark it with great sacrifice. David's excitement was so great that the Bible says that he danced with all his might. David put everything he had into it. And if you drop down to verse 16, there is the definition there, if you will, of his dancing, that he leapt and he whirled. He spun around and he jumped high. Michal, David's wife, did not think that appropriate for the king. She saw him ecstatic before this ark and said, you're embarrassing yourself. No king ought to do anything like this. the dancing which David did was not a vulgar dance. What David did was to jump with excitement, to jump with joy because the Ark of the Covenant was coming to Jerusalem. Now, if you'll go a little bit further with me to the book of Psalms, you will find David's statement reflecting that same kind of idea. In chapters 149 and 150, you read, "Let them praise His name with dance. Let them sing praises to Him with a timbrel and harp." Verse 4, chapter 150, "Praise Him with a timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes." You see, David said, here we are, and what we need to do is reflect the excitement, the enthusiasm, the zeal, the joy. But again, I remind you that there was nothing vulgar in any of this. In fact, David's clothing represented him wearing a linen ephod back in 2 Samuel 6, reflected the dignity of what this was. The dance that is mentioned in the Old Testament was not gyrations, but it was leaping for joy to the sound of the music that was being played. To further prove this point, if you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, to chapter 3 and verse 4, Solomon, in writing about all the things that a person might encounter or face, says, "There is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." Notice the contrast. A time to weep, a time to cry. There's a time for that. But then there's a time to laugh, to express joy, to express happiness. He said, there's a time to mourn. That parallels the weeping. A time to laugh and a time to dance, that parallels the idea of joy and happiness. I'd suggest to you that if you look at the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, you see it used in a way of expressing joy that's much different than the modern dance today. But some of the dancing in the Bible is vulgar. And its intent was to arouse the lustful senses. That's the purpose of it. In fact, I want you to notice a couple of passages. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 16. The background of Isaiah's description is the condition of Israel. They had become a very vile nation. He described them under terms of harlotry, as if they were prostituting themselves with every nation that came around. And he uses some very figurative language in a speech he says here. "Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched neck and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet." Now I want you to picture, in your mind's eye now, what he's describing. I want you to picture in your mind women that look like prostitutes. Women that are of the baser sort, who are out trying to entice men. That's exactly the picture here. And this walking and mincing, this jingling with the feet, was an attempt to try to attract the worst in mankind. The passage that Brother Kurt read to us just a few moments ago, I want to return to that passage, Mark chapter 6. In Mark's account, Herod had already killed John the Baptist. And when he heard of Jesus, he thought this was John the Baptist come back from the dead. And Mark then explains what Herod did and how John's death came to pass. And he says, "Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and chief men of Galilee." He's going to have a birthday party, and he's invited all these dignitaries. "And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced, the kind of dancing she did was what was very close to the belly dancing of those in the Near East, Middle East. It was also accompanied with, if you read the accounts of historians, quite often the stripping of clothes off. You might think of a modern day stripper, because that's basically the idea. And then it says, and pleased Herod and those who sat with him. And notice how the king offers to give this young girl up to half of his kingdom. Anything you want up to half of my kingdom, you name it. Does that sound like a rational being, a rational man making the decision? No. It's of a lustful man who's offering half of his kingdom to a young girl who's just danced in front of him. And what did she ask? She asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Herod did not want to do that. Verse 26 says, and the king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oaths, because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. And he commanded the executioner, and they went and killed John. People who get involved in lustful situations would do things that they know better. They know better. But they do it anyway. History records that this type of dance was nothing less than a display of indecency designed to entice the viewers. That's what its purpose was for. Now, it should be noted that most of the dancing in the Bible was done solo. That is, you don't have two people dancing together like a boy and a girl dancing together. But as David's case, he was jumping and whirling before the Lord. Even in the case of Herodias' daughter, you do not have her dancing with somebody. You have her dancing as something to view. Modern dancing is done with a partner of the opposite sex. And I guess I have to put a disclaimer, and guess they're gay, they're going to dance with those of the same sex. But the question is, why? What's the purpose of it? What's the outcome of it? The modern dance is by nature lewd and often simulates sinful behavior. It is designed by nature to excite the senses in those whose hormones are already raging. It is to promote lust. And it takes a person without a whole lot of imagination to know that when they call it dirty dancing, there's a good reason for it being called that. I want you to listen to Galatians 5:19-21. As Paul enumerates the lust of the flesh, he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Don't miss that word evident. There's something you can see plainly, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness. There's that word lewdness or lasciviousness. That word back when we talked about the definitions, the indecent bodily movements. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you don't listen to any other passage that I refer you to this morning, please listen to this one. Those people who practice the things that are listed in verses 19 through 21, he says, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's not Tony talking. That is God talking through the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit. And notice he includes that phrase, and the like. Which is going to lead me to number three of my points, is that it is demonic. Somewhere along the line, you have to ask the question, where does the modern dance come from? And so I approach the Bible and I look, and James 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. If you want to know where good things come from, they come from God. Well, where do the bad things come from? Go to James 3:15. He says, the wisdom that does not descend from above is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Earthly. It appeals to those worldly things within us. Sensual. It appeals to that excitement of the physical desire that is not fulfilled in marriage. And he says it's demonic. That means it's from the devil. It's not from God. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, he says, now the Spirit says expressly, in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. The devil's teaching, the devil's doctrine. People leave the Lord because they want to do what the devil tells them to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and 21, Paul was confronting a situation that existed in Corinth. Corinth was an exceedingly immoral city. There were temple prostitutes there. And one of the things that was going on was that people would go and eat meat sacrificed to an idol. And it became really a venture in trying to honor that idol. And these same people would then come and partake of the Lord's Supper. And here's what he says about it. Rather, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. He said, you've got to understand, here's the realm of the devil. Here's God's realm. And you can't join the two. They don't fit together. And he says, I don't want you to have fellowship over here with the realm of the devil. I believe everybody should be smart enough, and I give you credit for being smart enough, to see this. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 16. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Let me ask you just a simple, basic question. The modern dancing, what is its associates? Now, parents, I don't know if you understand or not, but do you know what is generally associated with those wanting to go to the prom? It's not only just the dressing up of clothes, but it's generally the drinking that goes along with it. It's also a time when many young ladies are deflowered. I hate to be that blunt and that frank, but I'm trying to tell you the truth. What kind of things does this produce? What are the fruits of it? How should the Christian react? 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22 says, test all things. hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. David said in Psalm 119, where he elevates the love of God and the love of His Word, he says, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Verse 128, therefore all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. Therefore I hate every false way. God, what David is saying, everything that's in this book, I consider that to be right. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling or cleave to what is good. The devil would love for you just to dance with him right into hell. He would. The Bible tells us not to be taken in by the devil's devices. Let's don't let him conquer us. Let's not let him win our souls. And parents, you should help your young people make right decisions. They're not going to be scarred for life if they don't go to the dance. Later on in life, they'll look at you and appreciate you for the fact that you loved them enough to try to direct them in the right way. I know this is not the kind of lesson that generally draws people's attention to wanting to become a Christian. This lesson has been primarily to preach the truth for the purpose of guarding and protecting the flock. But it may be that you have been thinking about becoming a Christian. And as the song number 587 says, soul, a Savior thou art needing. We all need a Savior. None of us are perfect. None of us are without sin. And if you're not a Christian, you can come forward this morning and become one by being baptized into Christ, and all your sins will be washed away. You can be a pure child of God. If you're here and you're a child of God and you look and you know there's sin in your life that needs to be corrected, don't let it go on. Make your change now and come forward and we'll pray with you.